The Lenten Chamber Music Series is heading into the new year with a concert for January 24th. That's a Sunday. And Executive Director Julie Montgomery is here to tell us all about it. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So let's start off with the program's title, Celebrating Brahmsfest. So what is Brahmsfest?
Brahmsfest is part of, actually, the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra's celebration of Brahms. And when Louis Langres was planning this festival, his hope was to have some partner organizations participate as well so we could get more of the spectrum of Brahms' music. So we were honored to be asked and thrilled to participate.
So it's a bit odd then to start this program with a piece not by Brahms, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. We're balancing a little. Beethoven, of course, is a inspiration for many composers, including Brahms.
Yeah, for Brahms, I mean, he was famously anxious about composing a symphony
yes.
in the shadow of Beethoven. Did that also apply to his chamber works?
I'm not sure, but I feel that he, in my humble opinion, that he eclipsed Beethoven when it came to chamber music. I mean, Brahms's chamber music is, I feel like it's a genre that he perhaps is maybe most comfortable in. Again, that's my feeling.
Okay, so it starts off with a Beethoven sonata for piano in F sharp major. And then it's another pair of works from Brahms, the sonata for clarinet and piano in F minor. And then the trio for piano, violin, and horn. That's an E flat major. And is there anything special about these particular Brahms works?
First of all, the clarinet sonata. I'm a flutist. I was trained flutist.
Okay.
And grew up very jealous of the clarinet repertoire, especially when it came to chamber music. I mean, Mozart wrote incredible chamber music, and Brahms especially. You can tell when you listen to their works that were written for the clarinet, especially in their chamber music pieces, that they were truly inspired by this instrument. And I'm just so jealous every time I hear these works, because as a musician, you can feel the music and you could feel the songs and the singing through these instruments, through the clarinet, that you don't really get, honestly, with the flute repertoire. So this clarinet sonata, it was written at a time where he had stopped actually composing for about a period of, I don't know, some length. And it was the clarinet that inspired him to come back to composing and writing music again. So, and you really truly hear it in this music.
Well, the clarinet player for this performance is Jonathan Gunn. And also we get to hear from Elizabeth Freimuth on French horn and Timothy Lees, violinist. And these happen to be all locals, principals with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, Linton has had a long-term partnership with the Cincinnati Symphony. I mean, since its founding with Dick Waller, who was the former principal clarinetist of the symphony. I mean, Dick started the series, and how he started it was he asked some of the soloists that would perform with the CSO to perform chamber music with him. And so we have this long history of featuring CSO musicians along with chamber music musicians that come from all over the world. So it's our pleasure, and it's always an honor to present these players. I mean, our musicians here in Cincinnati, especially from the symphony, they're just world-class. And at Linton, you get to hear them in a much more intimate setting, playing alongside world-class musicians such as Anna Polonsky, who is from New York, plays on the Lincoln Chamber Music Society series there often and around the world as well. So it's nice to get to hear our own players. It really makes you understand, like, how truly great they are in this setting.
So how are these programs constructed? I mean, aside from having the Brahmsfest connection, how do you fit things together with the music chosen and the musicians that play it? How do you put all that together?
It's quite a process. We are so fortunate that when Dick Waller decided to step down, we managed to engage Jamie Laredo, the violinist and conductor, and his wife, Sharon Robinson, the incredible cellist, as our artistic directors. So we work as a team with them to come up with the programs, but it really is their inspiration, musicians that they know and have worked with or have heard about or want to work with. They have such an incredible reputation that follows them that when they ask these players to come to Cincinnati to perform chamber music, they're thrilled to either come play with them or for them with some of the CSO musicians. So it's a wonderful process. And then from there, it might be a particular piece that we want on the program or they think should be performed. And they'll ask the musician if they would be interested in playing that. And then it's a lot of back and forth in terms of how else the program comes together. What do they want to play?
One of the things, too, is the location. The Linton series happens mostly at the First Unitarian Church, Linton Street, which is very close to I-71, very close to UC. So the venue itself adds a lot to what happens with the performances.
Absolutely. It's the first church, and I think, again, Dick Waller, he was a member of this church when he started the series, and he always thought it would be a perfect place for chamber music, and he was right. And the church has been so supportive of the series for about 37 years now. In fact, when it was renovated, they specifically had in mind the Linton series to make sure that the series would still work acoustically and from an audience perspective and all. So there's these beautiful stained glass windows. And in fact, there's one that's a gorgeous Tiffany window. And sometimes, I mean, I have many audience members who say to me just something about the warmth of the lighting that comes through the windows. And you get to sit so close to the musicians and you see them interact. It's like no other musical encounter in the city, in my humble opinion again. It really is truly special. And a lot of it, like you said, is that setting.
Now, we need to tell people, too, that there are people listening to this right now and think, oh, I'd like to go to this. But a lot of times these performances are sold out. And you guys are really successful at this in just putting people in the seats.
It's interesting because for a huge part of the series history, I think it was 17 years, the series was actually sold out by subscription. And it's kind of this double-edged sword for us because people still think to this day that you can't get a ticket to Linton, but you can. One of the things we've done, you know, in the last decade or so was expand the series to Loveland. And we have this beautiful second location. And this particular concert on January 24th is not being repeated on Monday evening, but most of our programs are. So what that has done is it's opened up some room for more capacity for the Sunday series. So we generally do have tickets. And I do suggest calling in advance because there is a good chance many of our programs of selling out.
Most people, they're used to classical music with an orchestra like the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. Some 90-plus players on the stage all at once. How do you convince listeners to go see a program with only four musicians to do Beethoven and Brahms? And for extra points, can you do this without using the word intimate?
Oh, my goodness. Probably not, because there is something obviously very special about music hall, the grandeur of it all, the experience of being surrounded in that incredible symphonic sound. I mean, I worked there for 14 years myself, so it was a real treat to work and experience concerts in that setting. But with chamber music, there is something so unique about it, and a lot of it is in the way that the players interact with each other and really visually getting to see that and feel it. You really do feel it. I mean, it's so fun to watch them. When somebody turns a phrase a certain way or nuances something in a particularly beautiful way or touching way, and you see the players physically react, you see them smile, you hear them feed off that inspiration that comes from each other, and you just can't quite experience that in music hall like you can in chamber music. Did I do okay?
Yes, you did.
I think.
We've been talking with Julie Montgomery. She's the executive director of the Linton Chamber Music Series. Their next concert happens on January 24th, that's a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, at the First Unitarian Church on Linton Street. The program is mostly Brahms, a little bit of Beethoven to start things off. It's celebrating Brahms Fest. Thank you very much for being here and telling us about the performance.
Oh, my pleasure, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Frank Johnson.